Hello and welcome to the Ascension Show. I'm Kathleen O'Toole. We are on show 9. So excited to be here celebrating the end of 2020. It's a year some people say they'd rather forget, but we're here to tell you there are lots of reasons to look back at this year in celebration. We mean it. We have a great team, an uplifting show today, so let's get started. First off, we have integrative adult and child psychiatrist, nutritionist, and wellness retreat guru, Dr. Andrea Best. Hi, Dr. Best.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
Next up, we have integrative adult and child psychiatrist, paradigm progression pioneer, as well as an international speaker, Dr. Denise McDermott. Hi, Dr. D.
Good morning.
And we have ascension medium, practicing spiritual intuitive, our very own Jennifer Schaefer. Hi, Jennifer.
Good morning, everyone. Hello.
And joining us, we have today our prose writer, who holds her master's in spiritual psychology and consciousness. She's a lifelong champion for children, our Beverly Bergman. Hi, Beverly.
Hi, good morning. It's nice to join you. Thank you.
We love seeing your face right off the top of our show. You always are at the bottom, but we invited you for the whole show because we're so excited. Dr. Denise, do you want to tell us kind of the idea behind what we're going to do today?
Yeah, so everyone, first of all, thank you for tuning into season 1 of The Ascension. We were all feeling like it was time in 2020 to have some new uplifting discussions when we launched the show. And we really wanted to make this about the way you can interpret your own ascension and thought thinking on spirituality, health, well-being. And I actually think we do a hybrid here. We mix some ancient universal truths with some pop culture. And I got really inspired. I looked up what Plato said. Plato contended that there was one universal truth, which every human being needed to recognize and to strive to live in accordance with. His theory of form states, simply put, that there exists a higher realm of truth and that our perceived world is of senses is merely a reflection of the greater one. And so when we talk about universal truths, we've talked about awareness, self-love, and altruism. And each week we had a universal truth, but we have to remind everyone that that truth is your own. And we're having some fun discussions. And today is a wrap up of all the different universal truths we covered in season 1. So thank you.
So I think our first universal truth that we're going to look at that we tackled this year is the one that we kind of tackled recently of gratitude. And I get the thrill of moderating this one because it really resonates with me. Over the last couple years, I've been trying to really work on gratitude in my life. And I know I've learned that it's not just gratitude for the big things. It's like, if you can find gratitude for the tiny little things in life, it elevates you all the way around. And so I teach my kids, gratitude's more important than happiness, really, in my house at least. Everything's very personal. But from a collective community level, we saw a lot of gratitude in 2020. We're battling this pandemic, very difficult. And yet we saw communities, not only in our nation, but across the globe, come together in gratitude. We saw all sorts of things like pot banging on balconies in honor of our frontline workers. We heard singing, beautiful Italian singing. Remember how that just touched us? We saw in Spain, you know, signs. It was just really touching. We also saw signs of encouragement. Remember those people standing outside hospitals, waving at the medical workers, and tons of food deliveries to hospitals, to COVID testing centers, to nursing homes, people just showing their gratitude for what's a very difficult, scary job. And also applause. I think there are certain communities where they would come out and applaud every night. And, you know, I bear with me, ladies, but it's a little schmaltzy, but could we like do that right now? Does that touch your heart to, in gratitude for all the people who had a difficult year and who are on the...
Yes.
Absolutely. I have... Yeah, right? I mean, we forget like all the fear and the uncertainty of gowning up every day and going in and giving the best and helping patients FaceTime and wondering if you're bringing the germs home to your family. And I think to frame it as the gratitude that we feel for these individuals who were there for us and working behind the scenes on vaccines and public health policy and proper messaging. I was just so thrilled and honored to be able to tackle this. I know that we also, as we sheltered at home and didn't, you know, gave up a lot of our lives, we all found personal reasons to have gratitude. So if you don't mind, I'm going to check in with everybody and see where your gratitude fell for this 2020. And Jennifer, if you don't mind, I'm going to start with you.
I love this because it's something that you can find gratitude in absolutely everything. And so for me, just being able to wake up in the morning and like having a beautiful space to wake up in. And then if you're able to work out or even go outside, having that, being grateful for that. Like I'm grateful that my body is able to do what it does, you know, and I might've taken it, not that I ever take anything for granted, but friendships, our office space. Like I'm so grateful that I share office space with you, Denise. I'm so grateful that we're in that building. And just with the family, like we can always find reasons to be sad. We can always find, there's plenty of things that we can be use empathy towards. But we have to remember that we could still, just like we talked about grief, we could still be happy within it. Like we could still show empathy towards our family members that are struggling or our friends that are struggling, but we can also still be happy and show gratitude every day for everything. Even being able to go to the grocery store and have the food, you know, that we have access to, or even, you know, being able to get a COVID test. Like even that alone, we should be incredibly grateful for.
But, Dr. Denise?
Yeah.
So I just wanna say cheers, Jen, to our sisterhood. And I love what Jen said, because she was talking about the gratitude in every moment, moment to moment. So for me personally, I have two shares. One, I want to thank all of you ladies. I'm incredibly grateful and touched for launching Ascension Media, The Ascension. And when I wrote a spiritual mission statement 5 years ago, it was grounded in love and service as the starting point. And I feel like looking at all of you on the screen and the way this was birthed, this show, our friendships, I have deep gratitude. And then I have what I will call my own Christmas miracle. So I've got to put the hat on. Mm-hmm. So my Christmas miracle is my son's neurostyle. We've talked about neurostyle, that we all process and perceive information in our own unique way. My Christmas miracle is that I was blessed to find a new school for him. And it's the first time in all the years my son's gone to school where he's saying, "Mom, I think I might be smart." And for all of us out there that are parents, teachers, or known anyone that's ever struggled with school or learning or anything, it warms your heart. So those are my big gratitudes.
Thank you. Dr. Best?
Well, I'll break it into three and I'll be as concise as I can. All three things are things that were set in place before this year came. And I'm so thankful first for my understanding now of God, source, universe, and the power and peace that came to me, that in understanding God now and understanding what's going on here, such that this year no matter what happened, even with the passing of my dad from COVID, I'm still in a space of peace, still in a space of seeing the world as a beautiful place. I'm thankful for my children and the relationships that we created before this year, such that we could be in this space together and not choke each other out. You know, I love my children. And I always say, it's not because of the things they do. They're great kids, but it's who they are. And like I tell my clients, you know, I care for you. You're worthy, you're valuable, and you were born that way. It's not anything you have to, you don't get straight A's to prove yourself, right? You don't become a star in whatever athletics or what have you, or chess or whatever, to be seen as worthy. You're born that way. So I love that my children got that. And this year we were able to love into each other in this space in a different way. And I'm so grateful for the friendships that were my close core, like Foxy Brown, my Valencia ladies. You know, most of us no longer live in Valencia, but these ladies, I mean, just the level of love, integrity, beauty, intelligence, emotional intelligence, to be in a space with women at this age of my life who we collaborate, we encourage, we uplift. There's not a competitive spirit. There's no gossip. We talk about men in fun, amazing ways. We talk about our children, but not all the time. You know, we talk about trips. We talk about higher level questions in the world. I am beyond blessed and grateful.
Thank you, Dr. Best. Beverly, I wanted to get to you before we ran out of time. Gratitude 2020.
First of all, I really echo what you said. My heart is just so filled with gratitude for all of the frontliners, every single individual that is out there, and I elevate this word in the most sincere way. Those that are what we seem to be doing menial tasks, that are literally out there and holding the fabric for all of us within our civilization to just exist. I mean, those people, I just think, my trash was picked up yesterday. You know, I mean, you have the trucks, you have them working and going and doing and going to the grocery store infrequently, as I do, to minimize that. But really, just it is beyond conception how just the compassion and the gratitude that every single one of us feel all the time. And so this is a beautiful way to be able to express that. And I am very grateful that my family has maintained its health. And as you know, I've got my son and actually grandson too, who are in a position where they might have the opportunity to be on the front line for receiving vaccines within the next few weeks. So grateful that they have maintained their health, and we have all respected what is necessary to do. And we do that with integrity, personally, without realizing, right, we do that with integrity, each one of us really respecting the aspect of our truth in doing that.
Well, Bev, my segment is over. I'm going to toss to Dr. Denise, because that's the perfect segue on the next universal truth, which is integrity.
Okay, so I just need to smile that the birthing of this beautiful integration of Beverly Bergman introducing the universal truth of integrity for show number one, I got to witness and see the evolution of how do you have high-level discussions. And I was so incredibly fortunate to spend time listening to her beautiful prose. And so without further ado, Beverly's going to share what the universal truth of integrity is.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Quite simply, the universal truth of integrity, I think, is where everything emanates from, and it emanates from within us. And it is the self-love. Number one, self-love that resides within us to really respect and honor our truth and honor our passion. And with that, we step forth and we honor integrity, the integrity of ourselves and respecting that with others. If you recall, just wanted to just show, I think I had this picture initially from a national park. I think it was Rainier National Park in Washington, talking about just the element of our Mother Earth and all that exists there, and just the integrity of growth. Because it's our growth too, as we are one with it. And I came across this and saved this, and you look at this one photo of just an aspect of pure integrity. And we too, like that, go to the light. I mean, the force it took for this particular tree to grow through the challenges, and the challenges too, all of which we have experienced this year and continue to, and yet make our way through it. We follow the light. We follow our personal light to breathe. And that's exactly, my gosh, what that tree is doing. I mean, it is making its way through the most difficult of challenges to really exist. And as we exist individually, then we really assist every single one that we touch, and even those that we don't know, because we lift up our prayers as we have here in pure gratitude this morning out to all the frontliners who are there serving. My God, they're just giving themselves in total breath for everyone. And then too, as I mentioned, my son, Eric, I just want to share this picture of him, because as I spoke about integrity on the very first show, it was again my personal integrity that I honored in allowing and permitting and gifting Eric the opportunity to make a decision as to whether or not, when he was a teenager of 18 plus or minus a year, it's very difficult for me to really remember, because all of it is very difficultly emotionally embedded within my crying soul. But to allow him to really make a determination as to whether or not he would take a particular vaccine to assist with the HIV/AIDS. And that actually comes to great thrill right now, because he will, as soon as he is given the chance, he will be taking the new vaccine that will be offered, that has now just been distributed this last week across the nation. So he will be one of those that will have the opportunity to take that. And there again goes back to our gratitude. I am so grateful that there's been such, I'll say, fast track with the intelligence and integrity, the integrity of every single individual that has thought about, researched, and put together this entire process of a fast track in creating the vaccine globally. And there it is. I am very grateful. And I really, I'm grateful for each and every one of you. What a gift. As Dr. Best had mentioned, what a gift we have in having this amazing support team of we, and we being able to reach out and really touch the hearts and minds of every single individual out there that has the opportunity to ascend. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm grateful, Bev, for your modeling of parenting. You allowed your son to have the choice back then of whether he would take that treatment or not. And now fast forward, here we are and people are having to, you know, make some choices now. Everyone is asking, will I take the vaccine? Will I, you know, have my children take the vaccine? Like every client, every friend, family member, colleague. So I
and what's the answer?
I will tell you, people of color have some concerns, and I think it comes from things that have happened historically in this country with, you know, the United States Public Health Service and the Tuskegee experiments, you know, that was treatment withheld for 60 years. 600 Black men in Tuskegee, Alabama, experimented on, no consent. They were told they couldn't, that they had to do it. They were told they had bad blood and therefore had to be a part of this. It was supposed to, I think, last 4 or 6 months, and it lasted 60 years. Fast forward, now people are still concerned because of lack of integrity, you know, lack of integrity within multiple systems in this country. We have an amazing healthcare system and amazing medications. We're blessed beyond understanding with the things that we can treat now. And science is real, COVID is real, and I believe the vaccines are important. However, it's just a bigger discussion. Personally, I'm not the first, and Dr. Denise and I've discussed this. We're not the first to prescribe, you know, the newest medications to our patients. We like to sit back, we like to see, we like to get the science, we like to get anecdotal evidence and stories back from other colleagues. So I think it's important that the vaccine is here. It's a very difficult question. I will ultimately take it, but not immediately.
Dr. Denise, we have about a minute for you to wrap up the integrity. Just your final thoughts before we move on to Jen.
Well, I think I want to broaden this out to all of you listening, that we, when we share our personal stories, you're supposed to think and have applied to your own personal truth of awareness, self-love, and altruism. So my wrap up on integrity that came, because I know Bev's story, and then I just heard Andrea's, you know, it's a big deal for Eric to make the decision to take the vaccine, because the way he got HIV was from the Red Cross tainted blood. We're going to do a deeper dive on that in the new year, but much like those men that were in the experiments, someone or anyone out there that's trying to figure out the integrity of their own decision medically or in anything they're doing, that you need to listen to your own inner truth about that. And that's what I'd like to say about that, that it's very personal. You take, we just talked about the vaccine, and that's like almost for a whole nother show, but the integrity of decisions are very important. So work with your own doctor, your own intuition, and your own health, for the integrity of your personal decision.
Excellent. Dr. Denise, will you take us to awareness with Jennifer?
Woo, woo. Yes, I will. Okay. So first of all, my level of awareness of meeting Jen, we covered Jen. You've got to see our Anchor in the Spotlight with Jen Schaefer if you haven't. So please tune into that. But my awareness and the way I met Jen was when I listened to my own inner voice. I had her card one day. It said One Beautiful Chaos. Right after I met her, I got lightning bolt chills. And boy, was I glad I listened to that inner feeling. Because then everything started. So Jen, I'm so grateful to know you as a spiritual medium and to talk about the integrity and the universal truth of awareness.
Thank you, Denise. Thank you. Awareness is something that is very close to my heart because it's different from being connected, okay? Everyone is connected. Absolutely everyone's connected. And I always tell my clients, and my friends, I'm like, start from there. Start from knowing that you're connected, even if you don't feel that you're connected. Everyone is connected. Absolutely everyone is connected. What I try to do is put their awareness to that connection, to their higher selves, to the fact that there's so much more in this universe. And what this year has done is it really has brought us to not only understanding how we're connected and that what we do affects everyone, you know, especially when it comes to COVID, we also have felt so disconnected. We have felt disconnected from our friends, from our loved ones. We can't see them because we don't want to hurt them, you know, in case we are around somebody that could have possibly had COVID. So we wake up, we have that time in the morning where we're just like, okay, how's our day going to be, right? Talk to your loved ones. Our awareness and the power of knowing that there is no veil, like Denise, we've talked about the fact you said there is no veil. I walk between those worlds. I don't ever separate the universe and me. I have like, and when you get to that point where you actually put your awareness towards that, towards being open, just even saying those words, you get so much more given to you, right? So, Denise or Andrea, I know that we talked about a little bit about Medium on the Spotlight. What were your thoughts on that?
That show was incredible. It was as if the light turned on for many of my family members and friends and even medical colleagues who wondered, like, what are you talking about? You know, what I would say, I heard from my Uncle June, or when I spoke about my meeting with you the first time, the second time, I think the first time I met you was in Denise's office and my mind was blown. And so I was obviously, I get excited about stuff. So I was talking about it and they were like, what are you talking about? What are you into now? So that show was it. And even now when people ask, like, what do you mean you heard your daddy laughing? I say, oh, that's the show. If you want to watch a show, you go to the Anchor in the Spotlight and watch the Jen show. Because I can't explain it the way you explain it. I just know to stay, as you said, stay open. I'm open. Nothing dark is happening. It is the light. And I'm so thankful for it.
Thanks.
One of my favorite shows.
I am so grateful for that show because it made my mother understand. She's just like, Jen, I now get it. Thanks to you guys bridging the gap between science and spirituality. I am so grateful for that. Denise, what are your thoughts on awareness?
Well, so a couple things. I have awareness. We've talked about the earth game and the spirit game. And so when Jen said that we're all connected, when I look at the earth game, I look at it as my geeky, like the Newtonian material, what you can see, then the unseen energy of quantum energy. And we talk about we have no veil. What does that mean? What are these ladies even talking about? If I watch this show, I'd be like, what is this veil? So when we talk about there is no veil, is that there's the seen energy and there's the unseen energy. And as a psychiatrist and also someone who's a universe quantum seeker and intuitive myself, it means that we not only have our words, thoughts, and actions that we're hearing right now, but there's an energy transmission that's invisible, whether it be love, fear, or anger. And let me give you an applied example of awareness. Let's say you have someone text you or do something that's unkind, or you read social media. I often react and you might have a feeling and an awareness. Oh, that made me upset. This made me. And if you want to have an awareness of how to use the energy, the unseen energy, to get to a higher ascended space, I did a meditation on Saturday that wrapped love around someone that I wanted to make sure they knew that whatever miscommunication, that I saw them in the most ascended way. So we can do and have that level of awareness. And that transitions right to prayer. And if the word prayer for you is a trigger, anyone, you could call it focused intention, mind mail, sending love, honor your neuro style.
Right. Beverly, talking about prayer.
Yeah.
Your awareness on prayer and the power of it.
It's how I, gosh, it's so poignantly powerful. And it is purely how it's just one with me. You know that, Jennifer. It's like everything that we do is really prayer. I mean, there it is. It's mindful intention, you know, and just putting forth the other words that just were shared by Dr. Denise is that is our, you know, our loving thoughts, all our loving thoughts and all our loving actions is really the power of personal prayer. Really, just quite simply. And my heart, I just love, there's a ripple effect. Truly, there is the, oh, good golly. There is.
Perfect. I love that music.
Right.
That was the exact perfect.
Here we go. There is, I'll let you say, what I was going to say is the collective consciousness. It becomes no more powerful than that. And so we have an affirmation of that. Dear ladies, is yes, there is that loving collective consciousness that is always out there and it is palpable. So prayer is within us. It's love that is totally emphatic. It is how we breathe and it is palpable. So there it is.
Jen, you had the best segment. You were right on time. And I think we all got so much out of it.
I think that ripple effect, just real fast, the ripple effect that you're talking about, when you send out, you know, intentions, you know, manifestations come back tenfold. So when you're praying for someone else, that energy comes back to you. It really is true how when you focus on something that's negative, that's where your energy goes and that's where it stays and that's what comes back. So just do something positive. And prayer is just an easy way, a quick way to get out of it, whatever you're going through. So
our next universal truth is altruism. And Dr. Denise is going to handle that one for us because we spoke to an old friend.
Well, we've got conscious capitalism guru, Dr. Denise Berger, who is a part of the show. And she's a global business executive, collaborator, leadership strategist, educator. She has a jewelry line, and she's also a 9/11 and COVID survivor. And we had her represent altruism earlier in the season. And she made a video for us. I'm going to share it with you and we'll integrate that into the show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Denise Berger, the other Dr. Denise, and I was a featured guest on the Universal Truth Altruism podcast series. In particular, I touched on organizational altruism and corporate social responsibility. And I've been asked today to share an inspiring story from 2020 that I believe embodies organizational altruism. If I may take a minute here, I think the universe took a defibrillator and delivered countershocks to organizational responsibility this year. And as uncomfortable as that's been, I think we have breathed new life into the kind of CSR that we all really want. Genuine, transforming, the kind that has meaningful impact on people and the planet and marries profits with making the world a better place for everyone to thrive. So pre-2020, CSR was always about people, planet, and profits for sure. But it wasn't necessarily about extending into social injustice and addressing the structures, systems, and policies of oppression. What I think is different for 2020 and beyond is that there's a greater intentionality to make the implicit explicitly clear. There's a heightened collective institutional engagement to confront racism, have the difficult conversations, and build more inclusivity in our personal and professional spaces. Salesforce is one example that's doing this really well. Internally, the company has committed to boosting the number of African-American employees in the US by 50% and will double Black representation in its US leadership team by the end of 2023. And externally, they have committed $410 million over the next 5 years to very specific, various activities serving social justice. The specificity and the layering of the involvement is what inspires me the most. We have also seen some industry-wide collective influences, in particular movement to stand up against racism in the sports world. And in the finance world, organizations like BlackRock are redefining finance and reprioritizing what gets rewarded and what gets flagged as risk factors. So I'm personally excited to see how BlackRock, in prompting CEOs to lead with intentional purpose, is going to play out in how they prioritize funding. They certainly are pushing for climate change to be viewed as an investment risk and for companies to engage in societal issues to be the companies of our future and for our future. So with that, happy holidays, everyone.
What a smarty pants she is.
Yes.
So everyone, just so you know, CSR is corporate social responsibility. I had a great interview with Dr. Berger that was over 8 minutes long. She's so smart and so full of information. I had to have her redo the video. So the bottom line is Salesforce rocked it. She was so proud of the NFL and all the sports. And she was really, really impressed with BlackRock.
Great.
Do you guys have any thoughts? Didn't she do a nice job?
She did. I like the defibrillator.
Yeah.
She talked about how it got bumped. I'm like, that's awesome.
Great imagery.
Yeah.
Great imagery. You can just see her. You'd want her to be your professor, right?
She is a professor. I'm going to be right back.
Yeah.
Prop. Be right so, back.
Denise, oh, she has a prop. I was going to pitch to her. Well, let's see what this is, ladies. Denise is going to pull out a rabbit. Maybe she'll come back.
Okay.
There now you go.
Next segment. Woo, 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 woo. Okay, everyone.
I'm so excited
about the next Universal Truth. It just came to me to get the beautiful faux fur. We've got Matt Sarafa, who is a fashion icon, reality TV celebrity, and most important, he really embodies the universal of integration, that universal truth. And we have exciting news. First of all, before we do that, let's just hear him talk, and then we'll talk about how proud we are of him.
Hi, divas. It's Matt Sarafa. As this year comes to a close, I've been doing a lot of self-reflecting and just looking back, and it's definitely been a crazy year, definitely one for the books. But honestly, as I've been thinking about it, I feel like this year has brought a lot of change, obviously, but also a lot of opportunities. And, you know, even though I haven't been getting to see my friends and family as much, I feel almost in some ways closer to them than ever. And I just feel so grateful and appreciative that, you know, I have so many people on my side that really love me and that I can rely on for everything. Because this year has been really crazy, especially as a small business owner. It's been challenging, and we've had to do a lot of, you know, rethinking things and kind of going back to the drawing board on a lot of stuff because the world is just so different. But I do feel blessed that as a small business owner, that my business is continuing to sell. We're still making money. We're helping others out through our donations to Black Lives Matter. We just launched a collaboration with PETA for animal rights. So it's just been, it's been a really exciting year. I can't wait for what 2021 brings because I'm ready to definitely close the chapter on 2020 and move on to bigger and better. But yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm so grateful for all of you guys. And I'm really appreciative and I love all of you guys so much. It's been a crazy year and doesn't look like 2021 is gonna be any less crazy. So we'll see what it brings. But I just wanted to hop on here, share my love, and wish all of you guys a happy, happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise new year. Mwah.
I love him so much. So much. Wow.
So when I hear Matt and I think of integration, just listen to, you can just feel the vibration of his soul. He embodies integration. He has his fashion line, but his heart is in service. His heart is into justice. His heart is to making us remember that we're all a collective. His fashion is gender neutral. So he looks at things from a very high level integration. So I'm just thrilled that he's in our universe and that he's on this planet at this time.
Show him the inside of your jacket.
Oh, okay.
So freaking cool, you guys. The inside of it says fake all throughout it. How cool is that? Because it looks so real, boss bitch.
And the cool, okay. So the cool thing about all this, everyone, is that Matt, when you wear this boss bitch outfit, you know, number one, you look hot and you feel like you're going to go on the red carpet. Two, you know that every time Matt Sarafa does something, he's giving back somehow. He's giving back with his brand, his message, his embodiment. And then also he's got that sass. Like Bev, show us that fan. That's the boss bitch fan, everyone.
Yep. We'll put a link in the show so they can check out his website for sure.
Okay.
Done. Okay.
I'll do that. All right. Our next universal truth. Dun, 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 dun. Is unity. And that is our Dr. Andrea Best. I don't know what Denise is going to come out wearing now, but talk is unity.
You know, I love, we are so different. Like in this space, we're different. I love that, you know, Matt is his authentic self and unapologetically all that, you know, he is. And it just really, it reminds me that we're not to be unified. We don't have to look the same. We don't have to act the same. We don't have to worship the same. We don't have to vote the same. We don't have to live in the same neighborhoods, drive the same cars. We don't have to travel the same. We are beautifully made differently. So, I frequently talk about one of the spiritual teachers, you know, Abraham, and she has this process called calibrating. And that calibrating process is where you, to feel better, you talk about what you're feeling more of versus what you're not. So today, did I feel a little bit happier? Yes, I did. Okay. Are we more alike or are we more different in this space? We're more alike than we're different. Are Republicans and Democrats more alike than different? More alike. Are Americans, are we more alike or are we more different? We're more alike. Yes, there are very real issues, and it's not denying, you know, systemic racism and the issues, the lack of integrity and many of the political, educational, you know, medical systems, etc. But 2020, what it showed me when I saw all of those images of protesters across the world, do you remember all of those photos?
Yes.
And I mean, every country, well, almost every country, but and every state here, it showed we are more alike. We want more of the same things. We all respect and honor freedom. Most of us want democracy. Most of us want a beautiful place for our children and our children's children. Most of us want clean air, clean water, right? Healthy medications, healthy vaccines. We're more alike than we're different. Anyone else's thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know about you, but when I think about unity, I was trying to make a joke about the fact that I absolutely love, you know, putting the top down and riding around in my convertible with a unicorn next to me strapped in.
Yep.
I don't think many people do that. I was just thinking about happiness with unity, because we can we all get happy doing different things.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yep, unicorns. Sorry to think that way.
Anyone else?
I do. Wait a minute. With I love the unicorn, because with the image of Jennifer with the top down and having the unicorn there, I've got one too, Jennifer, for you. It's like, I have the roof open and you know me with my teddy bears, all various sizes of them. And I have a giraffe sticking out of my moon roof, driving on Sunset in the beginning of the COVID with a giant teddy bear and a zebra and Buddy and Buffy, who are real, mm-hmm. all driving by one of the houses, one of my friend's houses, to lift them up in the beginning of COVID. And the idea of me driving on Sunset and such with this out and the cars going by with the giraffe. So my giraffe loves your unicorn.
Right. Right. I think these things are important because the show is so heavy, like unity, and the things we've been dealing with so heavy, super important that we are doing things like this.
Time out. Shut the front door. Unity, unicorn, UNI. A little wordsmith geek in me had to look it up, and we're going to send a picture. You are going to love this. Ready? Number one, a mythical animal typically presented as a horse with a single straight horn projecting from its forehead. Number two, here we go, guys. Something that is highly desirable but difficult to find or obtain. I think unity is highly desirable, but difficult to find or obtain. Love the unicorn. No coincidences that was brought up.
And I love the idea that we can be unified, but that we don't have to be homogeneous, right? Like we can walk to the beat of our own bizarre drum, and that's okay. We can honor that. Yet I think sometimes some of us forget that, like that unity is embracing all these differences and celebrating them.
Be your own unicorn. I'm such a dork. I can't believe I did that.
Do you have a picture of that?
Oh yeah.
And so that actually segues to the next segment, because we are wrapping up the show with discussing, we launched Ascension Media, we launched all these different beautiful universal truths, and we're gonna keep doing that, that can be applied to our daily life. So Ascension, we've talked about how we all go through cycles of crisis, stabilization, and thrive. And how do we, in any given moment, whether we're having a mixture of feelings of joy, happiness, or fear, how do we ascend? And for the world, we were in crisis. We actually saw so many different levels of crisis in 2020. And I looked up this amazing, inspiring funeral procession that I saw that was honoring the loss of lives. And this is the opposite. We just talked about unity, but we saw a lot of divisiveness in 2020. And I was very inspired by the way people have come together, like we've all been talking in prayer and unity and protests. And there was a funeral procession in Boston that honored George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery. And then I personally, and for all of us, I got to go up that emotional ladder, not only as in my own world, but seeing all of you. And then I had the honor and privilege of working with Jarnell Stokes and Kathleen this year. We did a Keep It Real season. And for Jarnell, as a very powerful philanthropist, entrepreneur, and athlete, to see him kind of process the crisis of the divisiveness, and also to see Andrea, but to see Jarnell do that and go up, he attended protests and he was very surprised at what he saw. In fact, he was so surprised, he shared something really beautiful on social media. And he put, and I'm gonna play the tape in a minute, "Guard your heart from hate. How peaceful protests signaled the first step towards healing." And that is the ascension. And we did a show on this. And here are his powerful, powerful words, everyone.
"I'm well aware of social justice and everything that's going on around the world. So everyone who has their attention on it now, this is where I live. This is, you know, my actual state of being. There's a certain feeling that's going on inside of me right now. And I feel as if it's that a society is evolving past a system. And we have so many great people in the world few are evil and trying to hold it back. But with that being said, I want to make sure I'm on the good side and making sure I'm healing.
Words cannot describe not only that clip that was shared in one of our podcasts we did this year, but there was a time when Jarnell sent me the most beautiful video. I saw like relief and hope in his eyes. He attended a peaceful protest in Colorado, and he shared with me, he realized that all of his brothers and sisters of all different color were surrounding him. And he even had a night where he was out past curfew and he literally had to run from the police. And guess who housed him all night long? He told me, this beautiful white woman. So I got to see, and that touches our hearts, all of us, when we, whether we're attending the protest, whether we're now having hope, we go through different phases, and that is ascension. And so this show is near and dear to all of our hearts, and hopefully you're gonna get something out of it and you're gonna apply what helps you to go from whatever feeling state you're having and allow yourself to have it to your best ascended state in that moment in time. And by the way, I love profanity. And remember, it's all divinely fucked up perfect.
Final thoughts, guys?
By 2020.
Go ahead.
Same. By 2020.
Amen.
Andrea?
I'm so thankful for that clip from Jarnell. You know, he was pulled over by police, and he spoke about that in one of your podcasts as well, Dr. Denise. So for him to show how to come from there to here. You know, I think about the fear that my kids had at the, you know, earlier in the year with all of the hate that was going on. You know, there were my fear of them leaving the home, to be at this place in December, the end of 2020, having calibrated, having been in this space and feeling this level of emotional intelligence, going up the ladder, everything I'm receiving in this space and sharing in this space, it's huge. It's huge. I want to go back and look at all of the shows along with news clips and just see, wow, how we got here.
Happy New Year. Happy New 2021, everyone. Thank you for joining us.